He made a valley of grace where things would change. And maybe they take up the cross high again. The valley of grace was never the same after he had died. The love that refines. There's no sense in trying to do it on my own. He gave more than I could.
Welcome to Valley of Graces, Healing Our Brokenness. And tonight's episode is entitled Lost in the Woods of Trauma. Have you ever lost your kid? That is one of the scariest things in the world. I've had it to happen twice with both kids. My daughter, when we were at Great America, and then my son, when he was 2 years old, and we were at Hawthorne Mall in Vernon Hills. And when you think about yourself, when you were lost, think for a moment about how you felt. So today on Healing Our Brokenness, we're going to deal with just that, the feeling of being lost in the woods. If you're an adult and you've ever been by yourself in an unknown neighborhood and or it's dark outside, it can be very frightening. And one of the things that's hit the top of the list for me going through this healing recovery from trauma is having the lost in the woods experience. When it happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're by yourself. That's the one thing about it that's kind of tricky. The next thing is that even if you are not by yourself, to feel like you're lost, it kind of does a tripped out thing to your mind, if you can just even try to picture that whole thing. So right now I'm going to give you some background on my lost in the woods aspect. I was hired at a manufacturing company after having no time to process any of the traumatic events that my kids and I had experienced. However, my ex-husband wasn't paying the additional bonus amount for child support that he was court ordered. And thus, I ended up being in a situation where I had no alternative but to find work. I was playing the Rob Peter to pay Paul game with my rent and utilities. So staying at home to begin healing, which would later lead to a life of thriving, wasn't an option at the time. Unfortunately, with no warning whatsoever, I walked into a company where the majority of the people there were toxic. It mirrored my marriage from start to finish. There were about four people there that I referred to as the untouchables because no matter what they did wrong, they weren't reprimanded. The CEO and workers knew immediately that I wasn't a good fit after a couple of months. However, what they decided to do to remedy the situation was, number one, hire a special HR person, so to speak, who immediately, after being hired, started asking the CSR who hired me questions about my position. I thought this was very unusual for someone who had just started and was getting used to the company and the employees there to immediately start asking about a particular employee. And instead of telling me that I wasn't a good fit, they came up with a fake 3-month performance evaluation plan. They would try to make the environment and the workload impossible so that I would quit. They went into my computer to spy on me. And then when that didn't work, they came up with a plan that involved almost the whole entire company to get me fired. Midway through working at this particular company, my thyroid glands went haywire. My adrenal glands began to fail, and my whole entire body failed in general. My emotional and psychological state was fragile as well. The only thing that kept me going was my spiritual health at the time. I was holding on by a thread. I was at the crossroads between working and quitting. But I kept working because I needed a way to pay the rent and the utilities. I finally got fired, and it indeed was God's mercy. At that point, everything in my body had gone haywire. I became extremely sensitive to sugar, and certain foods that I ate would trigger me to go into an extreme panic attack. That's what was going on at the time. And just to be clear, I would not choose to re-experience any of the traumatic events that have happened to me. I would not choose that. However, because of getting to a state that I would consider rock bottom with my trauma and the toll that it took on my physical health, out of desperation, I sought any and all help that I could get my hands on. I soaked myself in music and preaching like a sponge. I heard a message on TV by Dr. Charles Stanley that began to change my life. It was about what to do when you experience emotional strongholds. And I figured, hey, when I heard him announcing the message that he was going to preach on, well, trauma is an emotional stronghold, then maybe I can try to apply these methods. I noticed that at this point, trauma had already completely began hijacking my mind, so to speak. And it was also at this point that I understood what Ephesians 6 meant about not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against evil and principalities and the dark forces of this world. Satan was using my trauma as a weapon for idolatry. God showed me how trauma was hijacking my brain and using it by trying to steal my identity. The trauma wanted me to idolize a person or a thing and become attached to it as my identity at all times. And this is very hard to explain. However, if you have gone through trauma before, you probably have an idea of what I'm talking about. I know it sounds weird, but this is true. What the trauma does is, whether it's, just say for instance, if it's a chair in the house, if it's a friend of yours, it can be a radio in the house. It wants you to be so caught up into that one thing or person that you almost become obsessed with it as your identity. I began to recite what I heard in the message by Dr. Charles Stanley every time this happened. And I asked myself the questions that he mentioned on his recording, which the main question was, what is the truth? And he told us to ask ourselves that because of the scripture verse that says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I would ask myself, whenever I felt like trauma was taking a stronghold and trying to hijack my brain and get me caught up into a thing, which is idolatry, what is the truth, Tina? My identity is in Christ. I've been created in the image of God. And that's when the lost aspect started to decrease in its effect. But this is the first time, actually, that it had emerged. I had not seen the loss aspect until I started trying to regain my identity back, if that makes any sense. And so trauma and Satan were fighting to keep my brain hijacked by staying attached to things or people. And the only way that I can describe the lost aspect would be a combination of feeling lost, abandoned, without any direction, and without anything or anyone to hold on to. You're just out there and confused. You feel out of control and like you're wandering out into space. This rock bottom was the beginning of me breaking free. And this reminding myself of who I am in Christ, speaking the truth constantly, even if it meant 30 times a day. My mind had to catch up with what my heart knew for who my identity was, if that makes any sense. The lost aspect still continues to happen, but not frequently. And when it does, I remind myself, Tina, this is the enemy trying to attach you to a thing or a person, which in effect is idolatry. This is spiritual warfare. And you have to claim the verse. You know who your identity is in. It is not in things. They will only give you a temporary high and leave you empty. And as I recite the truth to myself, the Spirit of God takes over. And sometimes I have to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Well, wouldn't you know that just as I let my guard down, this lost in the woods of trauma aspect showed up pretty strong about a month ago. 2 months ago, my daughter and I were hit around the corner from our house. About 3 weeks later, we dropped the car off at a mechanic shop that's literally right around the corner from our house. And then we walked home. As I was walking home, I started to feel weird, like something was missing and out of place. And I tried talking myself down. And when I got home, I went to the garage to push the garbage and the recycling bin out. And then the lost in the woods effect showed up out of nowhere. I was totally caught off guard. I began to feel like a child in the woods, as if I needed to hold on to someone's hand, and just lost. And although my daughter was in the house, I still felt lost. I pushed both of the recycling bins out, came back in the living room, and started reminding myself of the truth. Tina, your identity is in Christ. You're going to be fine. And I put my hands out as if I was reaching out for the Lord and pictured myself holding on to his hands, telling myself that I was going to be okay. And I didn't want to tell my daughter about what was going on because I didn't want to make her nervous. And I didn't want Satan and trauma to get a stronger foothold than already was there. I kept telling myself, the car's in the shop. You're fine. Your identity is in Christ. I could reach my hands out. I could hold on to Jesus. That I didn't have to be afraid. That even if something happened and I did not have the car or anything else, I had Jesus. I told myself I had permission to feel the raw feelings of how it felt to leave the car and walk home. God showed up in a very surprising way then. As I relaxed, I started seeing flashback images of the stressful situations that had come up involving the car from over the spring and the summer. These new flashback triggers, allowing myself to feel the emotions that these triggers were causing, and then reminding myself of my identity, helped me to get grounded. Praise the Lord that they all did. And I want you to remember too, Satan is always ready to pounce when you least expect it. As soon as you get a little bit too comfortable, What about David? In Psalms 143, he cried out to God out of desperation for guidance, deliverance, and direction. He became overwhelmed with his lost in the woods aspect, longing for God's hands. Listen to Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsted after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into a pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Now here's the part here where you can tell that he was feeling lost with no direction. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. He was desperate. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring me my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. And just as with David, I don't want you to forget, we can cry out to the Lord at any time, and he will answer you anytime. Thank you, and God bless you.
You turn those valleys into places to learn. Instead of burn and perish away. And nights never so cold without his grace. How could I say that I've seen the world from his great love? How could I know what he could love? How would I have seen what he had in store for me if I didn't give up and let him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they'd take up the cross high again? The valley of grace never was the same after he had died. The love that refined. Change. I've seen the lights up.